Welcome to the Just Breathe podcast, a program that highlights inspirational people doing amazing things in our world. I'm Valerie Smaldone. Wolfgang G. Sonnenberg is a person who spent his life getting to the core of things in life, personal relationships, and business. Going from a corporate lawyer to a speaker, teacher, motivator, Wolfgang has written books, created workshops, and coaches people to help them build better lives and therefore a better world. He created the Winspiration Association for people to take active steps to create lasting change and created a day, Winspiration Day, which is May 7th. There is so much to discuss, Wolfgang, and I want to learn all about the Winspiration Association and Winspiration Day. But I really want you to take us back to your early years first and trace your interest in living a really purposeful life.
Oh, my early days was more kind of survival thinking. So simply born in Germany after the war, life was not that easy. Born in a family who struggled with money and also limitations and mindsets. It was not easy. And so I felt I was just born in the wrong place. And kind of a picture, I'm standing at the fence and looking over the fence and looked at others. Oh, everybody has it better. It's just me in this bad situation. So that's how it started, observing more in the world. And later, out of this victim state that it just happened to me, I realized that people born in better situation could end up worse. And I saw people who were really in a bad place, made it with their intellect, with their work, and their attitude to a beautiful life. So slowly, I got the idea. It's not just the circumstances, it's what we made out of it. And that took me years for sure to really apply it for myself. But that is, in short words, the journey I had.
So when you started to consider yourself, as you said, victimized and began the shift in thinking, first, and correct me if I'm wrong, first you really started on the journey of becoming a lawyer and accumulating wealth.
Well, that came later. Because first of all, you go to school. We didn't know, classmates and I, what we do. So, what can we do? So three of us had the idea, we keep on going together. And so we studied first what a kind of engineer stuff. But I felt, that's not really what I want. I needed to go in a factory first for 3 months and learn things. And I felt so wrong. And I saw there also people, the way they worked with the clocks they needed to stamp in the morning. And so, and I felt that is not really how human beings should live. So I quit there directly after the first semester of university and says, I will study law. And the, you really a little bit, you know, say fantasy and childish idea was, oh, I will do something for the justice in the world. That was a kind of driving idea why I studied law. It has nothing to do with money in the beginning.
But at some point when you were in the corporate world, how did you navigate that experience?
Because I thought, as the victim idea is, that not really my inner capability is most important. So I thought I need to build a facade. So I needed to go for money. I needed to go have the right address, the right furniture. So I, in the city of Hamburg, there is a lake and the street at the lake that is a very good address. So I was there building my office. So I had a four-story office and I did tax accountings and law. And so from the facade here, everything was very successful. But it was facade, was outside driven. It was in this way money driven, not really money for myself to make these facades happening. You need to have the right car and everything. But still, at that time, it was related to impress others, to be someone. Or psychologically said, my dad never believed really I could do something out of myself. So I said, it was a kind of proof for him. And that's why one day I was so fed up and felt, that's not my life. That's not my life. Like today, say, I was born and as an apple in a peach family. And everybody tried to make a good apple out of me, but even they sent me to peach kindergarten or to a peach school. Oh, someone is ringing the door. Little dog is protecting me.
What kind of a dog do you have?
It's a little one. It's a kind of dachshund.
Oh, those are beautiful.
It's beautiful, yeah. It's just from the, what do you call it, rescue home
yes.
or whatever.
Oh. Yeah. What's his or her name?
Tiana.
Oh, beautiful.
Very little one, yeah. So back to rescue myself at that time. I really felt one story. I wrote the book. One of the books is Better the Whole World Against Me Than My Soul. And it's part of the process also on what I experienced then there. I was driving a nice car, stopped at the red light. And then I looked to the side and I stepped the same car. And I said, wow, this guy made it. And then I looked back and then realized I'm sitting in the same car. How can I say to the other guy something? And then it dawned on me, I'm totally not connected what I'm doing. And I'm just fantasizing because I didn't know the other person. Was this a mechanic just making a test drive? Mm-hmm. Just maybe rented the car? I have no clue. I just made something up and I didn't value what I did or where I was. And then I needed to change my life drastically and really take the responsibility for my life. And then I cut everything down, what I had, gave everything away, went more than a million in debts. But with the saying, for me, better living the rest of my life on welfare than keeping on selling my soul. Because I sold my soul in this way out of the young boy who wanted to do something for justice or the student. I became, because of the facade, to a cost manager. So I was looking more for clients who can pay or give me high fees that I can finance all the. So I came off track from justice, just managing the whole thing. And and that's why I one day realized my soul couldn't stand it anymore. Became more sick, and so I needed to cut it off. And from there, a lot of shift in my life happened.
So the first shift was really making that internal belief that this had to change.
Yeah.
And that was the first
step. Couldn't stand it really, and I gained weight, because if you're in the wrong place, you start to compensate. You make money for compensation. But also I went in restaurants to kind of have a vacation in the evening from the stress of the day. I didn't live really what we call from the inside out. It just was a stressful life, betraying my soul, betraying my purpose.
So how did you, Wolfgang, how did you start to make the actual change in your life once you made that decision? Then what happened?
Yeah, when you have a million in debt, you need to decide what you do. You give up for the rest of your life. I couldn't just make money to make money because I just stepped out of it. So I needed to find something what is worthwhile doing it, and then if you create enough value for something that you get the value in cash back. So provide use value or whatever value to get the amount of cash value back. So that was the start doing this, helping people. I went in a kind of, would say, energy health business. I helped a Japanese company build distribution systems. So I was focused and really then started the teaching, because the process I went through started not really with the focus of coaching, but it just happened. So I started teaching, and what came more and more aligned, I took the responsibility for myself, was started to teach this more. And teaching, I don't mean as official seminars, just by saying and in all conversations, kind of teaching, sharing this. And I saw people changing. I saw, and we did kids coaching for the year, what they really want. So partly I saw more and more people then changing their life, feeling more happy, healthier. So that was more fulfilling. And that was interesting to have the feeling, wow, this is more fulfilling. Like it says, giving is so much better than just taking. So that dawned so slowly more and more on me. And then I had so much success and earned a lot of money. So that I one day even came in a trap, a kind of depression even, where I said, phew, what do I do now? Because just if you have the game for money, pay bills, build your house, then, you know, if it's all finished, I'm okay. But now I had everything, but was not extremely happy. So there must be something more, what makes really fulfilled and happy, than just the material stuff. And the soul is not the material side of the being. Is more the immaterial side of the being. So I started focusing more and more and invented a kind of purpose-finding process, did this more and more, and today I call even myself a kind of purpose hacker with people and the individual purpose, but also the purpose of the company, why it needs this company to exist, how are we running as a society, like if we talk about America, a super rich, powerful country, but it's really the purpose of this country that there are 50 million people living off food stamps. What is this country not capable of doing that not everybody has blossomed? And that is only not for people, it's my body. I ruined partly my body. I miss, I didn't take care of my body cells. And that is the history we're coming from. The individualist maybe not taking care of the body cells, really treat all these sells well. The companies of the past were not really focusing on having the main focus, are our employees really happy, well, in their best condition, could they live their full power? And the countries, do we really have servant leadership to make this, that all people in the country can really live their purpose, live their strengths, their fulfilled life? So I realized, and working more and more on it, teaching or making people aware, there is a lot of areas where we need to think and act in a 180-degree way, because what we're doing, it brings us the wall. And luckily and happily, more and more is now the consciousness there that all over the world is changing. If mm-hmm. I see Marianne Williamson now in the U.S., running for president, and says, wow, we need a totally different way or thinking in the government, for more for truth, more for health, more for happiness. And in the past, we made our worlds with sickness and war, and the future will be so much more about health and peace, because quantum physics is teaching us there is no limitation of materialization. It's just our stupidity from the past that we think in limitation and need to take other people something away or destroy it to make a new business. So we are on the edge of really a wonderful time. That's one of my books, is The Best Is Yet to Come.
Well, you are really shaping the way companies and individuals are looking at the world with this purpose finding in business. And you just said, Wolfgang, that you are sensing a much more receptive environment now than ever before, because we need it, because people are realizing the world needs it. And you mentioned quantum physics. Well, the Healing Summit, which just took place in Portugal, the theme was Take a Quantum Leap. And mm-hmm. I want to bring into the mix now the Winspiration Association, which you also founded, and then Winspiration Day, from this concept of purposeful living in business and in personal life. So how would you describe the Winspiration Association?
Well, mainly is just the format or the legal ground to work for Winspiration Day. That is why we started it. And the Winspiration Day first came in the mind in 2003. We had the first more kind of seminar day. It was 1,600 people attended, talking about what can we do for ourselves, besides this victim idea, what can we do even if we're in a bad shape? Because in Germany at that time, there were 2 million kids in households living from welfare. I said, gosh, what kind of picture do they have? And this should be the future. This should be the people who pay the pension later. What are we doing here? Why are we not empowering them? So that's why we started. And like with goal setting, it says, oh, you need to have willpower and then you can make everything. But if you go to those kids and you can't say have more willpower, then you get this. They don't know even what to get. So it was more about inspiring people. And also inspiring means from the inside out, really not motivating from outside, so not inspiring them. So that's how it started more and more. But today, also as we go to quantum physics, we know the observer is responsible for the outcome of whatever experiment it is. We know to materialize something, you need to have a focus, you have the energy. So if we really want fast change on planet Earth, it would be great if we all together focus on something. And more people are getting this. Lynn McTaggart in London with her intention experiments. Joe Dispenza, if you read the Supernatural, talks about, oh, if thousands of people are doing this. So we heard about 4,000 people meditating. Crime rate goes down. So more and more we get this, and the science with the physics helps us to understand more. Like maybe you heard about Dr. Semmelweis, who 200 years ago tried to teach his doctors to wash hands. They couldn't understand it. Even if the death rate went down, but nobody could understand why to wash the hand. Later with the microscope, we understood it. We need to see those things. Then now in every hospital and every restaurant says, wash your hands, employees, or whatever. So we need to get this science understanding that we can start to believe. And quantum physics now, unfortunately 100 years ago, really explains that what we call morphogenetic field, the unconscious field, what is running us also, where we're living in the cultural field or whatever you call it, is just a collection of our thoughts, of our past. So if we understand this more and more and collectively would decide how we want to have the world, and then, for example, take one day and focus on it, we could change a lot. Mm-hmm. But that is more the future. At the moment, it's also for the individual. We know about our thoughts and decides our life. But rarely I see people who really live it. And it's like the productivity. Most people are so extreme productive the last day before vacation. So, but they could do it theoretically every day. But for our purpose, for our joy in life, most people don't have a day where this is my day. I focus from the morning to the evening. How wonderful life is that I'm in charge, that I'm the captain of my soul. Or like Marianne Williams says, well, our greatest fear is not that we're mediocre, that we are really powerful and that we really dare to let our light shine. So that's why we said, we need a day that we are reminded and we come together and let our light shine and focus on what we can accomplish.
Well, we were delighted to learn that Winspiration Day exists and there is an award, and you had several nominees this year and one winner, which was Healing Hotels of the World, also the creators of the Healing Summit. There were some very powerful people in that group, Wolfgang. How did you choose Anne Bigging, Elizabeth Ixmeyer, and Claudia Roth to be the winners of Winspiration Day this year?
I guess because just what I said is a kind of a copy what they had on websites and what they said. It's exactly the same idea behind. So creating a chain of hotels, what really on a high level working for quality and healing, this is already incredible doing it and really have a high standard and not just a brand and getting people for money together that really want to accomplish something. And then the summit, and it was on also then on the website, it was exactly the wording we need to do this, that we really bring people together and focus together. So it's exactly inspirational as you like. And then on top, they had the summit on the 7th of May. So we had no other chance.
It was meant to be, right? That the word is beshert. We say that in Yiddish, beshert. Yeah. Meant to be. And so and so it was. And what a beautiful award to be provided with and to learn about Winspiration Day and what you're doing with your company. What is in store next for you, Wolfgang?
Oh, we have so much to do. For example, you met Steve. He is a wonderful kind of healer, coach, transformational person. So we are here now together and working on a concept. but it's easy to teach because he has a lot of experience. I have gone through a lot of things in life, and experience is not so easy to teach. But out of this, you can teach essence that other can duplicate it. And so we are working on something, what you could call a kind of inspiration circle, that not just once a year something is happening. So in every town where more people come together, that they have a kind of guidance, how to easier find and focus on my purpose. Because our philosophy here is, or seeing the world, is we all have a kind of purpose, gift, essence, or whatever you call it. It's nothing what you just make up. It is, like I say, you're an apple, you're a banana, you're a kiwi. What you make out of it, that is what you define. What is the vision, how I bring my purpose in life? But everything has something. But most people don't know it yet, because in their childhood, it was not really a topic to focus on that. You know, kids today were more focused on, learn what the teacher says and everything, learn the right answers, don't come with questions, and all that stuff. So we are working there. We have, not this year, but next year, we come with a special inspiration radio, online radio. We go more and more also in business consulting, like we talked about. Do we really need this company? What for? Mm-hmm. How do we transform companies? Because the amazing thing is, like with my body, it took me also years to learn, the more I really take care of my body, it's like taking care of a car, the longer I can use it. And if I misuse my car, okay, then it's maybe fast over. And the same is with companies. How we really understand, and we're not a friend of work-life balance, there is for us is only life. And part of my life, I do this, and part of my life, I do that. But it's not this work, or this is life. Mm-hmm. So life must be really taking place in companies. Where is my expression there to live my purpose? And the crazy is what people don't get. Where we see this happening, these companies are more successful, even on the material level. But you need to, as a boss, you need to go through fear and change things. Leading is different. You can't hide it behind whatever ranks and everything. So it's really a totally different thing. But today we call it, some say, a teal competence, more integral version like Wilbur. But there's a lot to do. And I'm growing up in Germany, and I see still it was a Kaiser country. And we still have a lot of things that the people are there to make the Kaiser happy. And we don't have government what is really focused on serving the people. I'm living in Switzerland. This is totally a different culture here. The community here is organizing everything what they allow to do themselves. They make a budget. They decide what they want. And out of the budgets, they decide the height of the taxes. And if they have more taxes, then they reduce the taxes because it's just enough for the budget and not for playing. Where the Kaiser always got the taxes just to play what he wants to play with. He never needed to touch. And there's still so much changes to do. And in Switzerland, it's really a wee country. It's for us, everything. Here you have at the river places where you can grill. The community is cleaning it. It's taking care of it. It's all for free. But it's not for free. We decide what we want. It's totally different way of living. Kind of in the Western world, America, Germany, you grow older and you get unconsciously more scared. Because the older, the less you're worse. If you're in Thailand, for example, the older you get, the more respect you get. Mm-hmm. And on the subconscious, you relax. It doesn't matter what I have on the bank account. Just as a human being, I'm here longer, I'm maybe wiser, I get respect. So there's a lot of principles where we need to change to make our life really on the next level of quality. And with the new artificial intelligence coming, a lot of jobs we don't really like will go away. And our job is now focusing more, and maybe the first time in history of humankind, we have the chance and the possibility to really define what humanity should be. What, how should humanity look like the next 50, 100 years? This is our main job. And there we come back to purpose. What is the purpose? What is it what we really want to have and create on values for us all? There's only one family on planet Earth. You need to understand the oneness.
Wolfgang, thank you for being such an inspiration on the Just Breathe podcast. Thank you for being an agent of change, creating the shift. You are author of numerous books. And to find out more, you can go to wolfgangsonnenberg.com or to winspirationday.org. Danke schön. Wolfgang, thank you so much.
Very welcome, and thank you for the opportunity to share.
For Just Breathe, I'm Valerie Smaldone.